Hi everybody, it's Ryan George from The Thing You're Currently Watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for Ant-Man and the Wasp that I made several years ago, and then stick around after because I'll talk about things and stuff. While you're doing that, I'm going to be drawing a wasp.
So you have an Ant-Man sequel script for me.
Yes, sir, I do.
It must have been hard to find a good way to follow up the events of Infinity War.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just not gonna do it. This is gonna take place before.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So what's the movie about?
Well, Scott is on house arrest because of what he did in Civil War, and he only has a couple days left on his sentence.
Okay.
But Hope's mom, Janet, is gonna slide into his quantum DMs.
What?
Yeah, she's been stuck in the quantum realm for like 30 years, and her and Scott have something called a quantum entanglement.
What's that?
An excuse to get Scott involved in the story.
Gotcha.
So Hope and Hank are gonna kind of kidnap Scott because they need his help with this quantum tunnel thing they're building to go save Janet.
Seems pretty straightforward. Are there any antagonists?
Oh yeah, a bunch.
Oh really, a bunch?
Yeah. Well, first there's the FBI and they're kind of suspicious that Scott is violating his house arrest.
Okay.
So anytime they think he is, they're gonna have to rush over there and Scott's gonna have to try to get there before them.
Why don't the FBI have someone stationed outside the house so they can just step in whenever they need to.
Because my way's funnier.
Fair enough.
And then there's a bad guy named Sonny Birch.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, he wants to steal Hank's shrunken lab so he can sell it to a buyer for $1 billion.
Oh, a mysterious billionaire that wants to buy Pym Technology. That's a great setup.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
So what's the big reveal? Who does the buyer end up being?
We're never gonna find out.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
So how does Sonny Birch find out about Hank's lab?
Well, Hope needs to buy a thing for the quantum tunnel, so she goes to see him.
What does that thing do?
It brings him into the movie.
Gotcha. And why is he in the story anyway?
Well, because I want the heroes to have car chases and fight scenes, but if they have those with the FBI, then there'd have to be consequences.
So Sonny Birch doesn't really affect the story in any meaningful way?
Other than leading a group of punching bags, no, not really.
And that's it for the antagonists?
No, I didn't even get to the main antagonist yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of antagonists.
Yeah.
So who's the main one?
She's this character named Ghost.
What's her deal?
When she was a kid, she was exposed to quantum energy, and now she can phase through things. And she used to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. assassin.
Wait, she's been around for years and was recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Right.
Feels like that raises a lot of questions about why we haven't seen her before in the MCU.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, she needs to use Janet's life force to save her own life or something?
How does that work?
Exposition.
Did you just say the word exposition?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean because of very complicated reasons relating to the quantum realm.
Okay.
So yeah, the characters are gonna go through a whole lot of complicated mumbo-jumbo about the quantum realm without actually saying anything about it.
Sounds pretty vague.
Oh yeah, super vague. That way I could do anything I wanted plot-wise and blame it all on the mysterious quantum realm.
I guess that's pretty smart.
Thank you. So what actually happens in the movie? Well, the characters are gonna steal this shrunken lab from each other over and over again, and once in a while they're gonna stop to shout exposition at each other.
Very cool.
And at the end, Hank is gonna go into the quantum realm to save Janet.
So what's she been up to this whole time?
Reapplying mascara and tracking down a robe, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah, and she's older now, so she has white hair.
I thought we said that time and reality works different in the quantum realm.
Yeah, well, like I said, the quantum realm works in mysterious ways, so.
But how did she survive down there? Like, what did she eat?
She fed on quantum energy or something? I don't know.
Where did she poop?
In a mysterious quantum toilet.
Oh, mysterious toilets are tight.
But how did the quantum realm help?
Please stop asking me questions about the quantum realm.
Well, okay then.
Thanks.
So is it gonna be hard for Ghost to survive now that Janet's back?
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
How so?
Well, Janet is gonna make Ghost feel better by using her fingers.
Oh. Not like that.
Oh.
Yeah, so Janet spent so much time in the quantum realm that she evolved and she has powers now.
What kind of powers?
The kind that fix this one problem and are never spoken about again.
Well, that is convenient.
Oh yeah, so then everything kind of works out for everyone and everyone's happy.
Well, you know, after Infinity War, it's actually gonna be nice to have a feel-good Marvel movie that-
And then Hope and Hank and Janet are gonna die and Scott's gonna get caught in the quantum realm.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty messed up, but that's Thanos for ya.
So wait, the events of the movie were happening at the same time as Infinity War?
Well, this happens in a post-credit scene and they built a smaller tunnel, so some time has passed.
So Ant-Man wasn't on house arrest during Infinity War like we said he was.
I don't know.
Fair enough. Timelines are complicated.
So what do you think?
Well, honestly, because Ant-Man wasn't in Infinity War, I think people are just gonna be super excited to check in with him.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, this could end up being one of our biggest movies of Phase 3.
Fingers crossed. I gave the wasp horns because they're evil. Little fact about wasps, if you didn't know, they sting people and it hurts when they do that and I don't like them. So that pitch meeting. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I fully stand by what I said about the multiple villains. That's kind of a superhero trope at this point, right? Like in a sequel, you have more than one villain. But I think there are more egregious examples of that than Ant-Man and the Wasp. I could have gone a little easier on that point. What does bug me about this movie so much that I'm barely going to acknowledge the pun I just made was the whole bad guys trying to steal the building plot. One of the things that I do when I'm watching a movie and thinking of the pitch meeting I'm going to be writing is look for the purpose of things in the movie. Technically speaking, from like a storytelling perspective, if you're including something in the movie, it should have a purpose. By the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, it kind of became clear that the whole purpose for the Walton Goggins crew, which by the way, if I ever do a pub crawl again in my life, that's going to be my team's name. But the whole purpose of them was just to, so the heroes had people to punch. They couldn't punch all the FBI people. That has too many implications, but that's just kind of a staple of Marvel movies in general, is like there's going to be some bad guys that the superheroes can show their powers off and punch and stuff. And you don't feel bad for those people because they're either really bad guys or they're soulless aliens. If those people dying or getting injured had any, you know, emotional impact, then there'd be a weight to every cool backflip that a character does. And that's not the funnest to watch when you're just looking for a superhero to go, wah-ha! I think, though, after years and years of superheroes punching, audiences might be looking for a little more weight behind those cool action scenes. I think we've kind of reached a point where the action better be really, really incredible, because seeing a punching bag get punched is no longer that interesting, at least in my opinion. At a certain point, it becomes, oh, look how big that hero's beam was. That was a cool yellow beam. Really decimated that punching bag character. That's something that kind of worries me for the entire setup of the future of Marvel that they've planned out, the whole Kang thing, is that there are just so many Kangs that they're just gonna become punching bags. I think people are tired of that. I think people want a little more emotional weight. We'll see. I don't know. Blah, blah. Anyway, that's a little rant about that. Moving on now, having seen Quantumania, they kind of indirectly answered the poop thing, because they have like full-on bars and stuff down in the quantum realm. There's a whole bunch of stuff down there. I can now believe that Janet Van Dyne found a place to poop. What am I doing with my life? Bill Murray was down there the whole time. That's a big reveal. Oh, and also watching this pitch meeting, I totally forgot that Janet had evolved and had powers. That didn't come into play in the next movie. What happened to the powers? Ah, anyway, time for the question zone period thing. Hey, Ryan, absolutely love your content and your style of humor always has me cracking up. I'm really loving listening to you describe the process of your work, and I'm glad for even more interesting videos from you. Thank you. I was curious if the pitch meeting characters stay in the videos, or are you randomly dropping whoopsies whenever something bad happens, or saying wow, 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 wow to something great in your everyday life? Yeah, they certainly do creep into everyday life, or if they don't, they get called out by the people around me. Super Easy is something that pops up pretty often in conversation or TV or commercials. And whenever that happens, anyone else in the room with me kind of turns to me like, I'm not mad, I've done this to myself, I take full responsibility. I don't really say wow, 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 pause, wow. I don't really say that things are tight. I do legitimately say, oh my God, in that way, in everyday conversation. I've been with my friends, we've been saying it that way for years. Just anything happens and we go, oh my God. Had a lot of reactions of people wondering if I live in Quebec, do I speak French? Yes, I do, and yes, I do. Oui, je parle français. J'ai été à l'école en français toute ma vie. Moi et ma fiancée, on switch back and forth between English au milieu des phrases, and it's very confusing pour tout le monde qui parle avec nous. If you needed more proof that I'm Canadian. Look at that, it's bilingual. What made you decide to go into comedy rather than bio-nuclear engineering? Well, I can never nail if it was nuclear or nuclear. I would always say it wrong. I would be confident that I had it right and I would say the wrong one. So I was just like, you know what? Let me just go into comedy instead. Also, the first part of the word, sometimes I'd say bio, sometimes I'd say pew. So that's why I went into comedy rather than a pew nuclear engineering. So I think that's about it for today's video. I'm having a lot of fun with these. If you guys have more questions that you want me to answer, more details about the process, anything at all, really, it's answering questions has been very fun. So leave some in the comments or send them to me wherever, and I will see you soon with more of something. Stay safe out there. I don't like these guys.